Vuk, welcome to Masters of Marketing.
Thank you.
I know that you are a venture builder, but I'd like you to tell me more about what that is and what are you currently focusing on?
Venture builder has a lot of meanings, but I guess to summarize it, since I left college, or actually since I graduated, I've been building different businesses. And when I was trying to figure out, you know, looking at myself in the mirror, trying to answer myself, who are you really, and what really excites you and what you're passionate about, I realized that I'm passionate about building businesses. I never had a job before. So straight from college, I started working for myself, and I've been trying to build a business that is going to be successful.
You never had a job?
Never had a job.
Interesting.
I never built my CV, yeah. I
mean,
whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we'll yet to discover.
Yeah, I think it's good.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
But I've been building a couple of businesses. I'm involved in a couple of businesses at this stage. At the moment, I'm working on Podster. Podster is the world's first chain of video podcast recording studios. And that's the baby that I'm working on now.
Which is this, where we're sitting?
Yes.
Okay.
This is basically the prototype.
I see.
The prototype where we validated all of our assumptions on the demand and the lack of supply in this space.
Got it. I didn't know that. So that is the, where we're sitting now is the first... And the first studio, first Podster.
Yeah.
And then the plan is to expand and have more of them.
At the moment, we're working on a new Dubai facilities, much larger, bigger capacities, and we're working on Riyadh as well.
Riyadh, which
is going to be the second. And then Singapore is also in the discussions, Cairo, and et cetera.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And are there many people that are interested? Can you tell on the show how many clients you have already?
Well, I think it's over 100.
Over 100?
It's for sure over 100.
Interesting.
Recurring people that are recording in the studio at the moment. And I mean, this whole industry, I mean, the fact that we're sitting now in the studio and you're recording your own podcast is also a sign of the industry growth, not only as podcast but as content overall.
Right.
Part of the clients of Podster Studios are podcasters, but the other part are content creators of any kind, whether it's a business or an individual. Content is king, right? How they say, and today really everyone needs to work on their content because there are so many gains that you're receiving, and that's where Podster is stepping in.
Right. And this is what you are currently focusing on, Podster.
Yeah, Podster. I've been trying to implement everything that I learned over the previous 10 years in business to build Podster in a healthy business using all of these lessons that I've mastered.
Right. Makes sense. And what are the other businesses that you are involved in or focusing on? Because you said you've started building a few businesses and you're involved in a few businesses. Are there any other ones you want to talk about or you want to tell us
about?
Well,
I can imagine. I mean, for me, everything started with creative. My background is in technology. I studied information systems and technologies. But then when we graduated, me and a couple of my partners, we decided to, you know, let's just start a business because we were hustling already heavily on college. And we were like, you know, I think for us, going down the entrepreneurial way makes sense. So we started Creati, which is a digital product agency that grew from originally from Serbia, Belgrade, Serbia. We came to Dubai in 2014. Then in 2016, we've started our Singapore office. And last year, we set up another office in Lisbon, Portugal. So Creative is a digital product agency that helps enterprises, government startups build tech products that in 2019 got a shape of a venture builder, actually, where we help early stage startups build tech side of their businesses and help them reach a stage of a Series A. let's say, help them with investments and advisory and introductions and build their tech site. Right. So that's one side of the business. And then under the umbrella of Creative Ventures, which is a venture builder, we have several startups that we are working on, which I'm partially involved in, but this is more passive, while I'm actively working on Podster these days the most.
Right. So you are the manager, CEO, or the person that overlooks Podster as a whole?
Yeah. Whenever someone is giving introduction in emails, please meet, and then our CEO, Vuk, or our founder, Vuk, or all these big titles, I feel like I don't like titles. Like it just sounds off. But yeah, I'm basically responsible for the whole thing now. I have my co-founder and partner, Ivan, who is supporting from the strategic perspective. Day-to-day operations and growth is handled by me.
Awesome. When did you start Podster? How many years ago?
Podster was a result of my own show. So how I ended up in podcast space at all is that back in 2019, I was in Dubai for already, 6-7 years. And to be fair and honest, I really wasn't happy with how connected I was. And that was reflected in a couple of things. One, the number of or the size of pipelines for our businesses that I felt could be bigger. And one simple example or scenarios that we're repeating when someone asks me, someone is coming to Dubai and they ask you, hey, do you know a good lawyer to recommend? Hey, do you know someone in oil and gas? Hey, do you know someone from FAB? Hey, do you know someone from Emirates? And more often than not, I didn't have an answer. And right. I felt like I've been in the city for 8 years already. Obviously came as an expat and my network was not as developed or as big as I wanted it to be. Now, investing in events, attending conferences, joining clubs, didn't really result in what I wanted, high quality contacts and people around me. Because as you know, Dubai is full of rented Ferraris and fake suits. So it's very difficult sometimes to, when you join some of these public gatherings, communities, etc., to evaluate, who is worth spending time with, who is not, and very often you end up wasting a lot of time. And I'm sure that a lot of people are empathizing with me as I speak. And we are all here with a goal. Very few people, maybe they started coming to Dubai now because it's a nice city to live in and other things. But 10 years ago, everyone was here for a business. And you are a mission-oriented person and you're out on the street to get business. And with that sort of drive, it's very important who you meet, where you go, where you generate business, etc. So in 2019, I said, okay, we need to figure something out. And I was just about to start our first outreach campaign, which was basically a typical sales, email sales marketing campaign for creative services at the time, which was UX, UI design, web development, software development, all of that stuff. And I remember spending days and days because I didn't have anyone that I can rely on or that I trusted to put together those emails, the email templates. And I'm a bit obsessed with a lot of stuff and it's difficult for me to delegate when I don't have someone who is really good at it.
Yeah.
And I end up doing it myself, which is not a good thing. But I was obsessed with it and I was working for days on that email and no matter what I wrote in that email, it sounded salesy.
Yeah.
And I could not see anyone responding to this yes. No matter how I start the email, no matter how cool I am, no matter how personalized the email is, it ends up with something where I'm asking them to whatever, a meeting or hey, I do this and that and that. And I just didn't like it. And we didn't start the campaign. And at that time, it was me and Ivan who were sitting together. We're like, we need to come up with something, some hack. We are smarter than this. We must not follow what everyone else is doing because we're going to end up where everyone else is ending. And we came up with the concept of podcast. Why don't we start a show that is going to cover the topic of the change and use that as a platform to connect with people that we would like to spend more time with, both to learn from and to do business with. And we started The Change. That is at the time of the podcast. We started The Change.
The Change Officer.
At the time, it was called The Change. Mm. And I will tell you the
story. And that's the podcast that we see and follow.
Yes, okay. That's the podcast. And we started The Change. We invited first our own friends, you know, from the network, recorded 10 episodes. But then we realized podcast is a lot of work. If you want to do it on your own,
of course,
is a lot of work. And we stopped until 2020 happened. And I said, I still believe that podcast is the way to go, but we need to figure out a smarter way to optimize the process. And then I've literally built.
How did you find out that podcast is the way to go?
Because I realized the power of approaching someone with the invitation to join you in the seat to record a show with gives you 10x returns comparing to not 10, 100 times better results than outreaching to them for a meeting to discuss services that Creative provides. When you tell someone, hey, why don't you come on my show?
Let me honor you on my show,
yeah. which is true.
Yeah.
You do believe that they have something valuable to share with the audience. It's a win-win.
Yes.
You give someone exposure. You give them a platform to promote their own brand. You learn from them. And that naturally leads into a relationship that has a lot more natural sort of path towards possibly doing something together in the future.
Right.
And when I realized that when you approach or reach out to someone with an invitation to come on your show, so more likely that they're going to say yes and be open to that, which will then eventually lead to having that possible sales meeting. But the problem was that it's a lot of work, and to run a machine of a podcast on a weekly basis, it takes a lot of time.
Mm.
So first iteration, we pivoted, we stopped, we couldn't make it. Two of us only, we didn't have time to invite people to edit the episodes, to publish, distribute, etc. So a year later, it was 2020, I had more time, and I said, let's do it again, but I'm going to build a whole system around it. So I built a small CRM, literally. There was like 45 steps about around each episode, what needs to happen. I was obsessed with the process. We hired our first person on the team, and we started the machine again. That was 2020. Now we are 200 and something episodes in. And I say it's absolutely the best thing I ever did in my life. Podcast. That's how The Change Officer was born, and I used The Change Officer to meet a lot of people, to attend conferences, to support Creative as a business, and eventually to build Podster as a business as well.
Awesome, man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna learn a lot from you because I just started the podcast as well, and obviously I have a lot of questions.
All right,
and including the process. And including the editing, including how often do you podcast,
yeah,
or you invite people? I'll ask you separately, or maybe we'll go through the discussion. So, talking about Podster, how did you first start promoting it? Do you remember the first campaign that you ran,
no,
or
100%.
The first channel?
I mean, I know every piece of that because I'm in love with the story. Podster was the business that was made so organically that it's a book example of how businesses start. Everyone started by us starting a podcast to solve our problem. We solved it. We fell in love with the concept of a podcast. Then we figured out how to do it regularly without putting a lot of time pressure on us, how to do it with least investment of your time as a host, and continuously doing. With the team, with the processes, etc. And once we figured that out, and once we had the machine going on, it was natural that we think, or whether it was natural or not, but we thought, like, why don't we pack this up? We obviously solved the big problem. There were three, actually, that we solved. Number one, pipeline. Through the podcast, we increased pipeline for our businesses by 10x through the people that we met. Number two, we promoted our brands, company brands, because we were producing 40 pieces of content per each episode. We were out there nonstop.
What do you mean by 40 pieces?
Like, we would turn one episode into photos, quotes, micro videos, shorts, reels, blog posts, everything. So there was around 40 per episode that we were putting out there across all of the channels, etc. which is for the investment of 1 hour of recording, getting 40 pieces of content is just like through the roof. There is nothing else that is giving you that return.
True.
And it's just like two of us chatting for 1 hour. That's it. Only from what I said so far, you can get 100 pieces if you want. That was number two. And number three, personal brands. We build our personal brands from someone that people didn't really know to someone that people are aware of, at least.
Makes sense.
From this was just one, just podcast. And when you said, okay, this, the investment versus the value that you're getting is like amazing. There must be a market for this in out there. And we packed it up. And that was the first iteration of Podster. We said, Podster is the company that is giving businesses a turnkey solution for podcast production. If you want to start your own show, we're going to do everything from you, from the concept strategy to the recording, sourcing of guests, preparing the episodes, producing micro content distribution, promotion. You just give us your host for 4 hours a month. We're going to do everything else.
So you do now, you do even the sourcing of the interviewee.
We do that for a selected few clients. We'll come to the point like how Podster then split into a couple of different businesses. That was the first iteration. Our first marketing activity was the outreach.
What type of outreach?
Email outreach. And the funny thing is, the same type of outreach that I wanted to do with Creative in 2019, but I couldn't find the right way to do it. We repeated with Podster and it worked like a charm.
Yeah.
However, there was one thing that was different. The service or the product that we were selling.
Of course.
Thing that didn't work with Creative was it's a commodities product or a service that has a lot of competition, that doesn't have a unique hook that we could develop. And it's very difficult to offer to a person to tell you yes or no.
Yeah.
Do you need, you know, UX, UI design, software development service, that I don't know. I mean, everyone needs it. Everyone doesn't need it. There's so many things that are working on. What exactly are you focused on, et cetera. The entry point is very difficult to get a meeting for something like that. But we produce podcasts. Do you want to start working on your podcast? It's a yes or no. It's a very specific thing. Do you want to start working on your podcast or no? So for an outreach campaign, to design it and to measure the results, it's a lot easier than to something else. And we were sort of first in the market. There was not a lot of people out there doing something like that, and the need was growing. So we started 3 months of outreach campaign. For 3 months, we signed around 30 contracts.
Amazing. Do you have competition?
At this stage, direct competition, not really.
Okay.
There are companies out there who are doing similar stuff. There are networks, there are agencies. At this stage, we're the only specialized video podcast production company. Right. I'm emphasizing video. There are
and you think that's why it's working? That's why it worked, this campaign worked? Because you were a monopoly in a way? There was a need?
I think there was an untapped need that the timing was right. The market was ready. People were flirting with the idea. They understood the concept. And it was just about checking enough rocks and seeing whether they are in particular interested. My philosophy was, we're going for a yes or no. There is no maybe. And we're looking for the companies who are ready. Yes, we are just thinking about it. Let's go for it.
Got
because
it.
In the outreach and in all of these type of activities, it's all about the timing.
So the outreach was what? Like, what was your approach in the outreach? Because I'm trying to understand, because I understood something else at the beginning when you start talking about the outreach. The outreach, so the email is, hey, come and let me interview you, or this is what you could do, and these are the benefits of it. No, so were you selling a service or you were actually inviting them to the podcast?
At that stage, we separated from the Change Officer podcast was on the side. It was my personal thing and Ivan's thing. The campaign that we started was selling Podster services, directly selling a turnkey podcast production. And a couple of steps happened. We would have a couple of LinkedIn profiles. We would connect with specifically targeted individuals. After the connection was established, we would go in with the pitch line. It was a simple message. Seeking for a meeting. At the meetings that we had, and we had approximately one out of, I think the number was one out of seven messages, we got a meeting. Because highly targeted, timing was right, the service was unique, the value proposition was clearly defined, and we had all of the hooks in place. So the ratio was really good.
Amazing.
So every meeting that happened, I did the sales meeting by the script, by the presentation, and most of the processes were optimized, which allowed me as an individual to run almost the whole campaign. So we didn't lose a lot of time. Meeting 30 minutes, enough to define or evaluate whether the lead is someone that you can work with or not. It's followed by a questionnaire. Based on the questionnaire, you put in a proposal, negotiations, yes, no. But everything was super. So we sort of productized the service. And I think that helped internally to run an operation like this. When you're trying to sell, this was a service, but we created a couple of packages, and it was either you are going to purchase this package or not.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of customization, which helped internally to optimize the process so you don't end up with 30 discussions and trying to fit in the proposal, customize the scope of work, and then you end up with 30 contracts that have all different type of,
makes sense,
of scope of work.
And the beauty of it, of your offering of Poptzer, it's a service. So I come in and I use a service, and at the same time, it's a product. So I come in and I know what to expect. I come to the studio and I can see everything.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true as well.
So it makes it a bit easier than a service like the previous business of yours, like selling a UI, UX,
it's tangible.
Right. Like, I don't know how you're going to build a website. I don't know that experience. You're going to build my website or software for 6 months. I don't know if you are the right person, even though you showed me a lot of case studies and testimonies and so forth.
So before we decided to start Poptzer, I said, okay, look, this smells like another agency. And I don't want to build another agency. I'm done with agencies. I'm done with this sort of client relationships. I'm done with scope of works. I'm done with deadlines. I'm done with payments. I want to focus on something that is repeatable, scalable, optimizable, clear, doesn't depend a lot on people's skills. If we didn't build tech product, let's build a product in the service at least.
Yeah.
And the initial idea with Poptzer services was we're going to standardize everything to a maximum. It's going to be a product that you buy. You know what you're getting. We know what we are delivering. Turned out that even in that was difficult.
So you started the first campaign, if we go back to the question, the first campaign that you started, or how you started promoting Poptzer, was through an email campaign.
That was the first.
Was that emails that you bought, or these are, you approached him on LinkedIn? How did you get this email?
Actually, correction, it was all LinkedIn.
Okay.
It was all LinkedIn. It's traditionally assumed as an outreach, and it's an email outreach. That was initially what we thought about, but we ended up using only LinkedIn.
LinkedIn through Navigator.
Sales Navigator to source the leads, direct connections to connect with them. The ones that we connect with, we would outreach via message.
Good.
Simple crafted message emphasizing the product and the USPs and for the people who are interested.
Excellent. And today, how do you promote your business? Do you still need to market the business?
So there are two sides of businesses at the moment. So this was end of last year. Beginning of this year, we started the studio. Initially, we didn't see people coming to the studio. Our offering was, we'll come to your office and we'll record the studio. We'll record a video podcast in your office, in your space, your environment, your branding and stuff. But then there was a lot of inquiries to come to our studio. At the time, we didn't have. We were like, okay, I mean, you can come to our studio, but like, isn't it better if we come to your door, like we bring the equipment, etc. But then we realized actually the business is in the studios. So beginning of this year, we started investing heavily into our infrastructure for the studios when it comes to digital. So we invested a lot in SEO. And this is an interesting story. It was 2014, and one of our partners in Creative, our tech company, is an SEO expert, one of the biggest SEO experts that I know, digital marketers in general. And for 5 years or 6, 7 years, he's been telling us, guys, we need to invest in SEO. Guys, we need to invest in SEO. Guys, we need to invest in SEO. And because running a business day to day, an agency, you're always, you know, rushing. You need to close deals to pay the expenses, etc. Nobody cares about investing in SEO that is going to give you results, you know, in a year or 2 years, etc. It was not direct. There were not direct links or results. And everyone was like, you know, let's just invest in PPC. And we were heavily investing in Google AdWords and stuff.
Are they search terms? Are there people actually searching for podcast studios?
I'm talking about our mistake that we made in Creative back in 2014. We didn't invest in SEO. Now, when Podster came, I said we are not going to repeat the same mistake. So we doubled down and invested a lot in SEO, managed to position ourselves first on all possible terms when it comes to podcast production, podcast studios, etc. And that's probably one of the biggest assets that you as a company working today in the environment can have, being a first result for the queries that people are looking for when it comes to your business. So at this stage, we have SEO. We do actively do Google AdWords, social media. We do outreach. And then we do organic referral-based marketing and stuff like that.
Makes sense. So people refer each other or refer to other people. You still do inbound. It's perfect. You have everything. So you have the referral, the word of mouth. You're doing the outbound and you're doing the inbound. And what's the best marketing challenge for your business and why?
Well, I think that at the moment, equally SEO and paid advertising across social media. I love SEO more because it's feeling like owning a property.
Correct. Owning an asset. You don't pay owning every single asset. Click.
I mean, you obviously need to keep investing and investing and investing, and we're going to do that forever.
Yeah.
But the return that you get on that is as organic, as beautiful as it can get.
Right.
And it's always going to be yours. So we do that, and then we do cross-channel campaigns across social media that are giving good results. But what we learned is that it's really about, a lot is about the type of ad that you actually produce. And you need to play around a lot. So we start with literally 100 variations of our ads before we narrow down to a couple of them that are working.
I'm retargeted. I see them, the video ads on Instagram.
The one that you're seeing is the one that performed the best, and now probably it's always one of the same.
Yeah, I see one, and it's pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah. And you would say the quality that you're getting for SEO is the same quality that you're getting from Google search ads?
I think it's, if not better.
SEO.
If not better.
SEO is better or PPC or
SEO.
Search? Yeah, of course. SEO. Now, for your space, it could be the same because if I'm searching for a podcast studio and I click on the ad and I come to your landing page, and I see the pictures on your Google Maps, for example, you have amazing pictures. I can see the whole thing. I can see the reviews on Google Maps. I would convert if I have the right need. But SEO, of course, it builds trust. So for businesses in general, if you're ranking on SEO, of course, it's better, more trusted. And especially if people are involved in marketing, they know the ones that rank on SEO, they're usually more senior.
But there are
trusted.
People who don't even understand the difference between the
paid
ad.
That's exactly what I mean. So it could be the same. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
So interesting. And how do you measure your return on investment? What are the most important metrics for you to measure?
So, all right, I can't say that we developed or that we are as sophisticated in that sense as we can. I think that to reach the stage where you have a very clear math around the ROI and cost per acquisition, etc., you really need to put some time to build that infrastructure. We are working on that at the moment, making sure that what we are investing in paid advertising is returning us enough, covering the expense and then providing us a lot more. But what is difficult to, maybe you can educate me on that because you're an expert, but what is difficult to calculate is what's the customer lifecycle value for something like this, because we acquired some of our customers at the beginning of this year. They've been recording for the whole year.
And they gave you referrals.
They gave us referrals, etc. I remember that I read something about Starbucks and how much are they spending to acquire one customer. And it's a ridiculous number. It's like measured in thousands of dollars. But then people would say, why are you spending thousands of dollars to acquire someone who's going to buy one coffee? They're not going to buy one coffee. They're going to buy one coffee a day for next 20 years. Yeah. So for them, customer life cycle value is probably measured in tens of thousands of dollars. So it's worth for them putting in a couple of hundreds or thousands.
Yeah, makes sense. So do you...
I mean, I'm not sure if I gave you the answer because I know it's important and you need to measure them. One thing I've learned about business so far is the more things you measure, the better. If you can measure every single thing you do in business, how many minutes, seconds you're spending on planning, how many minutes you're spending on marketing, how much money you're putting here and there, the better. The more numbers you have, the more things you can quantify, the better.
Absolutely. Now, sometimes it's challenging to put a return on investment on, let's say, brand marketing. So if you put a billboard outside, if you put, you know, you write
articles.
I don't
even know how to measure that.
Right.
How is it measurable?
You don't measure it because you cannot measure it.
Yeah.
Now, if you put a billboard, you cannot measure it. If you put an ad in a magazine, you cannot measure it. If you write blogs for publications, you cannot measure it. If you go to events, of course, you cannot measure it, right? Yeah. But if you're spending, for example, now let's give the calculation between you putting money on search ads, Google search ads, you're putting money on SEO, you're putting money on, let's say, social media ads, and you're putting money and time on LinkedIn outreach. So you would say how many hours you're putting outreach emails, LinkedIn, your time, whoever is doing it, plus how much are you paying for Sales Navigator, etc.
True.
So you put a cost on that. You put a cost on SEO, like the money that you're buying backlinks and writing content and optimizing the site, etc. Of course, search ads and social ads, it's easy for you to put the number. So you put them and you say how many leads you're getting from those, if you can, with if you have the right tools, CRMs, etc. And then you can put the return on investment, right? True. So you can say... That's for you, it's quite easy, especially if you understand Google Analytics or like the other analytics platforms. So you can say, yeah, maybe my direct traffic is increasing because more people know me and so forth. So you can put that direct traffic, you can allocate it to between the efforts that you're putting on LinkedIn and on, right?
Yeah.
So direct traffic, you would take it, let's say the 100% of direct traffic, you would say, I'm spending my time and my money in these four channels. I'm going to put, let's say, 25% of the direct traffic on each one of them. Or you put it in a different formula. Yeah. So that's how you can come up. So you can.
100%.
We work with a lot of companies where we do a lot of brand marketing for them. Mm. And it's very difficult to put a return on investment.
But I guess it depends also in which stage you as a company are. Where do you want to invest your money?
Mm.
Probably in the activities that are more geared towards your brand. You're putting in at a slightly possible later stage, or depends how funded you are. In the beginning, at the moment, or how we bootstrap, what Potter was completely bootstrapped, zero investments until recently.
Right.
Completely bootstrapped. So we were focused only on the activities that are giving us a direct immediate return. And from day one, we were cash flow positive, we were profitable. Fortunately, because of the profits, I didn't spend enough time to calculate like what is giving me, how much the returns, etc. But as you go, it's very important to calculate your ROIs because you want to know where you want to double down
exactly.
And what you maybe possibly want to shut down.
100%. And it's interesting, something that I would add, and I actually put a video on it, I think last week. I knew a friend of mine that invested all his money and all his business's money in SEO.
Hmm.
And they've opened few countries, so they had to do redirections and like different URL slugs, etc. And they lost everything. So all the traffic, everything, all the ranking, they just lost because they've done the wrong redirections. Mm. And it took them months to recover.
Wow.
So again, to you on that point, and the video, I think the title of the video, Never Count on One Source of Leads.
Mm.
So he counted on organic traffic and he got
100%.
Right? He basically lost all his revenues, etc. And it took him months to start recovering. Like many businesses, and there are so many case studies that counted on Facebook only or counted on YouTube channels only, right? So it's good to diversify. That's what I learned. It's good to diversify. So it's good that you're doing SEO. It's good that you're doing, you know, all this stuff.
This was a direct result of my previous, call it failures, or lessons learned on previous business. I remember Dragan, who is the name of the SEO guru, he was telling me the best time to start investing in SEO was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The next best time is today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because 5 years will pass.
Yeah. And more businesses are investing in SEO, so it's going to take you longer.
Now, it's a competition game. Depends what business you are in. Sometimes it's like it's not proportional how much money you need to put in to position yourself on a certain term in a certain country.
Absolutely.
But if you find the right niche and the right market.
Yeah, and if it makes sense for you to invest, if you know that you're going to win, then yes. Do you work with marketing agencies or freelancers or in-house staff in terms of marketing? And why? What works best for you?
So it's sort of a mix. As a business, we are not at the stage where we could hire, or we necessarily need a bigger agency that comes with its overheads and processes, etc. So we're quite fast, proactive, and sort of nimble. So we work, it's a mix of a couple of consultants, one agency, two agencies that are a smaller scale, and internal staff. Clear responsibilities, clear KPIs, everyone focusing on what they do best. I'm involved. So we are building every single thing that we are currently building in Podster. We are thinking about 100 studios.
Right.
How can this be managed at the level of 100 studios?
Got it. And so the in-house staff, obviously, like the guys that work at the studio, you need them full time. So what do you outsource to freelancers and to agencies?
By the moment, we are outsourcing tasks that are not having a steady volume of work.
Right.
Because if you are relying, and these are stuff like post-production, editing, content and stuff, if you're relying on your own internal stuff, it's more challenging to control the volume of work and then the timelines. So basically, as the demand grows, you have enough supply because you're distributing that across a network of part-time stuff. But key roles within the company, we keep in-house. Stuff like internal marketing, producers, operators, obviously management roles and stuff like that.
And in terms of marketing, you outsource or you have everything?
Marketing
else?
Is, let's say 70% of marketing is outsourced.
Okay. To agencies?
Contracts,
or?
A mix of agencies two agencies, and we have a couple of consultants.
Good.
It depends. I mean, I have an opinion sort of on necessarily agencies. Everything has its own fit.
Yeah.
You know, I know people who are like, oh, why is this agency ripping me off, charging me X thousands of dirhams for something that I can do on my own? There is a reason.
Of
company
course.
On certain size don't want to mess around with people who can disappear tomorrow. And you're paying premium for having a nice sleep. But when you are a company that is starting, obviously you're not going to go to Ogilvy, you know, to run your marketing campaign because it doesn't make sense.
No.
For you, it really doesn't make sense. But, you know, at one stage, you will be begging Ogilvy type of agency to do work for you because you know that you're going to pay them and people will be responsible for the work that needs to be done.
Makes sense.
So every company in each stage has a fit.
Yeah.
You just need to figure out what's the right balance.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, measure the results. I think everything needs to be ran on KPIs and the results.
Yeah, you're right. And again, that's what I say. And again, I made a video on it. And I say, like, the difference between working with freelancers or in-house staff or agencies. Like, with the agency, you pay a premium to work with agencies. But you know that these agencies, they don't go on holiday. They don't call in sick. There's always layers of approvals. If you hire now, let's say, for a bigger company, not necessarily you, because you don't necessarily on Google search ads, you don't run a lot of campaigns and a lot of ad groups and a lot of ads and negative keywords and like a whole complex thing.
But we actually do, but we are small scale.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But like, if you are a larger company that offering so many services or products and services, and you're putting hundreds of thousands of dollars,
you need a team.
You cannot have one SEO expert sitting in your office and you have no idea what this person 100%. Is doing. So you count on an agency where you have the account manager that knows, and the SEO special, the SEM specialist that knows, and SEM director that, you know, so you have multiple layers.
100%.
Good to know. And do you work with influencers? And if yes, how is that benefiting your business?
So we don't necessarily still work with influencers, although there is a lot of discussions on the table and there is a lot of offers, and traditionally, you know, there are all sorts of influencers out there. Mm. There are people who truly influence, and there are people who are self-proclaimed influencers, or they think that they influence. So we do naturally get a lot of offers. Hey, can we come record for free and we're going to promote you on our page, etc. Fortunately, at this stage, we do not need any more promotion because we're already working.
Touch wood.
But not that I do not believe in that. You always need to promote yourself. You always need to build your brand. At this stage, we are looking for the right model to engage with influencers. What I see in an influencer at this stage, I do not see necessarily a source of more work. I see at the moment influencers as a source of learning, because they figured out a way to produce content that people consume. And Podster wants to help people produce content that people consume. So working with an influencer can help you understand that piece. So that's how I see at the moment our relationship with influencers. And I do totally understand the prices and the value that they're bringing on the table. And there's a lot of people like, oh, they're really mad. Can you imagine that influencer is charging $50,000 for one post? I mean, yeah. What is that? And I'm like, dude, if you get 100,000 leads or likes or whatever, yeah. or 50 million eyeballs on your ad, but that's worth more than a Sheikh Zayed billboard.
Yeah.
Like, there is a reason for a price like that.
Absolutely.
Now, there is a lot of things going on in this world, of course.
Yeah,
people who are overcharging, etc. But I do completely see the value.
100%. It creates brand trust, man. We work at the agency with a lot of influencers, like, and we always tell clients of the value of influence, the right influencers, whether they are the micro or the macro, but definitely it creates brand trust.
What do you think is better, one macro or one massive influencer or a group of micro influencers?
I would answer it in a different way. You could say the biggest billboard on the highway is better than 100 small banners, or let's say 10 bridge banners.
Mm.
But the big banner, the biggest, has a certain value and creates a certain brand trust.
Yeah.
And the 100 or the 5 or the 10 bridge banners, they create more impressions.
Mm.
So you could say more impressions is better.
Depends what you want to achieve, I guess.
Right. Or you could say having the biggest and the most important
It's a good way to put it, yeah.
So, and if you answer it again in a different way, today look at Coca-Cola. Look at the biggest brands that advertise.
Mm.
You are in New York and you see Coca-Cola on the biggest tower. And you see Coca-Cola sometimes in other cities on the smallest towers or on the smallest bridge banners. Mm. And same with here. Like in Dubai, you see the biggest, for example, like let's say Amazon, when they run White Friday, Black Friday, sometimes they put the big banner, but sometimes they put the smaller banners.
Yeah.
So the same thing. And today, who are you as a business? Can you actually afford working with a macro influencer? And who's a macro influencer?
Yeah.
Like someone that has 10 million followers?
I'm like, when we were, there are all these trends that you can go and follow. There are playbooks. We are a small business, and I've been building so far small businesses. I didn't build so far a business that had more than 100 employees. Creative had 80. That's still a small business. When we did the podcast, The Change Officer, in 2019, we realized we do not have enough money to go down the the usual way of marketing, especially at that point of time. You know, we don't have, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to invest in marketing, digital marketing. We cannot hire an influencer. This sales outreach, we need salesperson. We don't have staff, etc. There must be a better way. There must be a hack. There must be something that we can figure out. We're smarter than that, than this. And we were sitting at literally this place here in this studio, figuring out, that's it, podcast. And I'm always, whenever I'm thinking about like business now or, and this came after years and years, I'm always thinking there must be a smarter way.
Yeah.
There must be a smarter way than going down the usual path where everyone is going and trying to do. Everyone is doing the same thing. Okay, right. Of course, some of these things you have to do, but there is always that trick. So growth hacking, you know, there's so many stories about how people figure out for like $100 to acquire, you know, thousands of customers and so on.
Absolutely.
That's like how I'm always trying to push myself to think about every new thing that we're working on.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, man. And we always evolve. Like for us, like you and me, in a way, we are an... you're like a little bit more of the product, like we discussed. I'm a service industry, and you always have to think what works, what could work, what is a new thing. And that's something that I'm going to ask you now. Like, do you test out new channels? And for us, we always test out new channels. Because like we said, you never know what's going to give you the highest return. And you always have to look for new sources of leads. Because now, in our space, let's say the digital marketing agencies, there are a lot of aggregators, a lot of these listing platforms. So for us, SEO might die.
Mm.
Google Ads, it can be super expensive. It might reach a place where this cost per acquisition doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Social is so busy and so cluttered. And social is push marketing, so it generates a lot of junk for you as well because everybody sees it. Everybody, all the job hunters and then suppliers. And so you always got to try new things.
What? So how many years have you been running
an agency? Igloo?
Igloo, yeah.
Started here in Dubai in 2014. But before it was in Lebanon. The agency was in Lebanon. It's a family business. So
it's around 10 years or more.
More, yeah. But here, 2014, and we opened Miami last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So with Creative, which is part of Creative, is typical agency service. Right. We never figured out how to scale our marketing activities, sales, etc. We never figured out. And we eventually we said, dude, this is not the business we want to be in.
Yeah,
we don't want to be in the business of continuously chasing. We didn't figure it out. Right. There are successful businesses out there, plenty of them,
of course,
who are in service providing services on scale, thousands of employees and so on. But we didn't figure it out. What gave you the best results over these 15 years of being in business when it comes to marketing yourself, generating sales, generating leads? Like, what's your like success story in that space?
So obviously, similar to you, SEO generates quite a decent number of leads and quality leads. The quality that we get from SEO is way higher than Google and social. What I'm doing now with you is scaling the, I would say the, I don't want to put it under word of mouth. I want to call it under personal branding, showcasing who I am as a person and my expertise. So I don't know if you, I know that you know, but maybe the viewers don't. I create quite some content online. I share my...
There's been a lot
of
your content out there.
So I've been creating videos and share mainly videos for the past, let's say, 3 years. Up and down, sometimes I stop. Like in summer, I stopped because I was not happy with the way I was doing the videos and now hired the videographer. So I improved the quality of videos. Do I get leads from that? Of course.
At one point, you were doing really well on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That was 2020?
Yeah, that was now, before the summer. When I stopped in a couple of months, I was not posting. But was not happy. Then the algorithm just messed me up. But see now what's happening again. If you see the engagement.
But you've been getting a lot of engagement on your videos.
Yes, on LinkedIn, on Instagram. Instagram, I boost them
because
the organic reach on Instagram is not like that content that everybody wants to see. So the algorithm doesn't help you. So I boost on Instagram and on Facebook, not anymore. I don't use it anymore personally. and I do TikTok. TikTok, the organic reach is high. So what I'm doing now, the podcast, I know that these videos, they tell people who I am. I'm honoring you. You are getting the value. Your business is getting the value. But the viewers are seeing who I am. And I always add value as well about marketing and these topics. So people get to know me more. So that adds value to me and that adds value to my business. And of course, it adds value 100%. To the viewers. So that's what I want to focus on. That's what I'm focusing on.
To be honest, my how I see building and scaling a service or an agency today, I mean, maybe I'm going to say something that it's very obvious to many, but I think that many are missing the point, is truly focusing on doing great work. There is no better lead than a referral. You are converted with 95% of chances. So, and I think that this is a natural extension. The referral comes from the trust. Trust comes from knowing someone. What you are doing with content is a natural extension to that. You are giving opportunity to people to get to know you a little bit better, to buy into you, to buy into your personal brand, and then eventually reach out and do some business with you. But the best success stories that I've saw when it comes to service providing businesses came on the back of high quality work. And when you ask some of these people, like, how did you scale your business? They're even confused. They're like, well, I don't know, man. I was just doing my work. I was just designing well. I was just programming kick-ass apps. And like referrals and leads just started coming at me.
For service industry, yes, I agree with you. Like for us as a service industry, and it depends on your objective, man. It depends on your vision. Like how fast you want to grow. What do you want to become? Like for us, like now, if let's say a business like us is generating $2 million in revenues and you want to make it a $20 million business, that's 10x. How fast in 5 years? Then you need to do a lot of work. Yes, you provide the best service and best quality of work, but you need to do a lot of marketing. You need to do all the outreach that you can and all the inbound stuff.
True.
And personal branding. You got to speak at events. You got to go for awards. You got to do podcasts. You got to do webinars, seminars, run events, and put a lot of money to promote it for people to see it. So that's on the service front. And if your product, like in e-commerce, for example, you got to put a lot of money. Like personal branding on e-commerce is not going to help you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 100%. You got to put and outbound is not going to help you.
Yeah.
You got to put a lot of money on inbound marketing.
Yeah.
And on just the BTL stuff and the ATL stuff, right? Yeah. The mass marketing, the radio and the TV and the... Do you invest in... I know that you do, but like at what stage and what do you do in person? I see you on LinkedIn, but in terms of personal branding, what do you do? How do you promote yourself? How do you market yourself on a personal level? And how is this affecting positively your business?
Well, probably the only example that I can give is the podcast. I mean, that's what started off as a tool to solve three problems. One, to generate more traffic towards our businesses. Two, to put our business out there on the map, which I think both we did successfully. And third, to put my, although I always say I'm an introverted extrovert. I'm not someone who's really going to jump on the stage. But when you push me on the stage, I'm probably going to figure it out and I'll be comfortable. So when I started the podcast, that's a funny story. That would probably be the biggest mistake of my life. So when we were starting a podcast, I really didn't feel comfortable coming in front of the cameras. And I thought of putting one of the employees at the time of the company, telling him, he was a bit more of the extrovert.
Yeah.
Can you just be the host? Yeah. I'll be around. I'm going to meet people, greet, etc. It's going to be our show, but you be the host. And I don't know why, what happened then, but or someone persuaded me or I ended up in that first episode, which was really uncomfortable, especially because I spoke to a friend who is a psychotherapist and then he grilled me for the whole episode, episode. And he asked me all of these tough questions. But that ended up without me really planning for it to happen. That helped out in building my personal brand as well, where I think that people now see more of me and they resonate more maybe with who I am and what I do. Although I think what I'm not doing well, I'm not very strategic because I'm not doing it sort of on by purpose or by plan. I just do it ad hoc. I'm not putting enough structure and strategy behind actually mapping out my personal brand out there. I'm not talking about specific things that I do want to come across as something that, you know, I want my image to be sort of painted out there. I do a bit of venture building, I do podcast, I do build pods, etc. So it's a bit all over the place.
Right.
I think if you actually want to do it strategically, you need to decide who do you want to, like, who do you want to portray or who do you want to be online. And then every piece of content that you're putting out there, you're doing it based on that. And I think you are doing that well. I remember your content before. I think algorithm is not showing it to me anymore. It started again. But before, I remember you were out there nonstop every day, SEO, SEO, digital marketing, PPC, yeah. ROIs. You're really nailing it. And we didn't know each other personally, but I think I almost reached the stage where I would refer you, you know, to someone. Hey, I know this guy who is doing whatever, like SEO.
Yeah.
And I think that's like power.
Absolutely.
But it's becoming more difficult today because there is a lot of people out there who are figuring out the game. So we will again need to step up and do something a bit more different, I guess.
What are your top to-dos and top to-don'ts in marketing?
Oof. Well, I have the list of the things that I still want to do and I'm not doing, and I think we are missing. One thing that we are going to start working on sort of by design as Podster, start producing a lot more of our own content around the whole industry, around the podcast industry, production, etc. I think high quality original content builds a lot of trust. We are sitting at the source of so much content in the studio itself that we can repurpose. But we are going to invest a lot more into building our own content, writing a lot more of our own content to cement our place as a synonym for podcast production. That's one thing that's definitely missing that we want to do. Another, like if you say what are the top things to do, I would say definitely invest into, you know, assets online, like SEO and stuff. People see you. Don't think that people don't see you. And when they see you, you need to make sure that you leave a good impression as well. We are sort of living in the digital age. Top to do nuts. I mean, there are typical stuff, you know. I don't know. Be respectful and like don't mess around with your community and stuff. I don't know.
I'm not really sure. Yeah. Especially here.
People remember, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? TikTok agency that we're going to start working with now, they did one sample piece of content for us before, for Podster. I did a video, exploded, like 40,000 views, 1,000 likes, 250 bookmarks. It was the video here in the studio. I said literally in 15 seconds, like starting from 350 dirhams an hour, you can rent this Podster studio in Dubai Media City, blah, 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 blah. And so many bad comments came in. Oh man, no, that's not, like I said, we're using Netflix certified FS5 cameras, and they're like, these are not Netflix certified. Yeah. Like, this is not, 350 dirhams an hour. And because it was my first piece of content that I did personally that achieved like exposure, it was my first experience with negative comments. I was like concerned, like, do I need to answer them all or like, whatever? But then I realized actually this is great. Because the more of these people you can get to comment, the algorithm push your content a lot more. You
especially
know?
If you reply.
Especially if you reply.
Yeah.
So that was funny. And I can't wait for us to start releasing. We are preparing a lot of content now that we're going to start releasing around the new studio that is going to be launched. So I think building your content and doubling down on that, be patient and wait for the results to come in.
Good. And from a marketing standpoint, what is one thing you'd leave the listeners with?
Try to hack. Try to avoid beaten paths. and be smarter than the system.
Maybe it's good to shed some more light on that. How do you hack and what do you hack?
So I gave the example of a podcast. You know, we could have gone and spent thousands of dollars on marketing, on SEO, on PPC, and end up with several leads. We've recorded the podcast for 10 episodes. The ROI could cover probably 10 years of me recording a podcast from the deals that we closed through the people that we met through a podcast that cost us nothing at the time.
Right. So that is talking to the service industry again. So, but how do, the thing is, like, if you don't know, how would you hack? Now, that is not hacking, right? Well, that is like trying. You just thought about it and you're like, ah, maybe podcast, and you tried it.
But try new things. There is always the, you know, there are so many examples. If you want to get inspired, just start following the path of growth hacking, and you're going to end up with so many good stories. How people figured out a way to scale their business, no matter what the business was, through an unorthodox approach.
But what you've done is not unorthodox.
Well, in 2019, especially here in the region, nobody did
it. What did you mean by unorthodox? Like something that is not good or something that is out of the box?
Unorthodox in sense of unusual.
Do the unusual.
Yeah. It's not something that everyone is doing. You know, everyone is boosting their Instagram post. Mm. Everyone is investing in SEO. Everyone is doing digital marketing. Everyone is doing, you know, and these are the, you know, safe place, you calculate to ROIs, etc. If Kareem had to beat, you know the story about Kareem and Uber.
And what story?
Kareem and Uber, I'm not sure now exactly, but basically Uber was coming in the market. You know, unlimited budgets.
Yeah.
Unlimited budgets. So Kareem, that was starting, they couldn't...
They bootstrapped it at the beginning.
But they couldn't outperform or pay more for, no matter how much the money they put in, Uber would put more. Mm-hmm. And they would always beat them in that game. So they had to come up with a different way. So they worked on this organic content. There was that slingshot and all of that stuff. And they were beating them in different fields. The story of Spartans and all that stuff. See, you know, the things that you can leverage.
Yeah.
To sort of outsmart the system.
Thing is, it's very challenging today as a business owner or a marketeer or as a marketer to say, yeah, I'm going to go out of the way and do something completely different. So for us, for mature businesses, we take part of our marketing budget and we test out new things. For you, you didn't even test out from the beginning. You said, I'm going to do something completely different. What is it? I'm not going to be a Me Too company. I'm going to try something new. Luckily for you, it worked out. But for you in general, but actually, if I rephrase what you said, or if I put it in different words, maybe not hack, because it's not necessarily hacking. For you, you didn't hack. For you, you came up with something new. It worked. I would say test new things.
However you want to sort of define it or call it.
Yeah.
But the
message. Whatever you want, then just try new things.
The message is like, you know, if you are a small business, and this is all from the perspective of smaller scale businesses that don't have unlimited resources to play around, etc. For a major company, there are other limitations. They have resources, but they are not flexible, nimble. They cannot go and test that easily, etc., etc.
You said something to follow what? You follow something like a hack, something like a hack.
Growth hacking.
Growth hack, but follow what? Where do
but
you
no,
follow?
I mean, if someone is like, if you want to get inspired about what I'm talking about when I say hack, just explore that topic. Of growth hacking. I mean that, like, if you start just following the path of the term growth hack online, you're going to end up in so many sources and communities that are talking about, you know, growth hacking and like, okay, I have a product, but how do I now get 100,000 subscribers and users? I can't get $10 million in PPC and get 100,000. I don't have $10 million.
Yeah.
How do I get 100,000 users, subscribers with $1,000?
Okay.
Challenge.
So what would I search for? Like legal growth hacking for to generate more leads for my service business, something like that.
So for example, if you're an agency, probably you would start by, you know, service agency growth hacking methods. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
And then something will pop. So people are talking. There is a whole industry around service agencies trying to solve the problem for service. Everyone is well familiar that agency type of model is one of the most difficult models that you can run as a business. And there is a whole industry around agencies trying to solve that problem for them. I even started seeing ads now online that are addressing, are you an agency owner? Are you tired of chasing clients and generating sales pipeline? I have a solution or a magic formula for you. That right. means that the problem is so mature that there's like a whole industry around it.
Okay. So growth hacking.
Growth hacking.
That's what you want to leave the audience with?
Growth hacking. But it's a philosophy as well.
I mean, we do growth hacking as well at the agency, right? For clients. I took a lot of your time. I have a lot of questions. We're over the time. Pleasure having a chat with you. I think we should have another chat in the next few months.
Well, let's do it.
There's a lot, obviously, to share. And
I think I'll have a lot more to share as well in a couple of months because we are rolling out a lot of interesting stuff now.
Yeah.
We're going to test out, try out. And then I can share some more insights of what we've learned. I even had an idea of starting a podcast that is going to just follow the growth of Podster as a business and share all of the lessons that we learned along the way.
Awesome.
Which is, I think at the end of the day, about content is really trying to, from your soul and heart, provide value. If you manage to do that, people will resonate and people will listen and follow. And then regardless of whether you are successful or not with that business, they're going to seek help.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And for people to follow what you're doing, they could follow the Change Officer.
The Change Officer is podcast. They can follow me on LinkedIn, Vuk Zlatarov. Podster is the company.
The studio where we are today.
Where we are today and the new one coming on soon. I really can't wait to share it with everyone. It's literally going to be something like I didn't find in the world, to be honest, that sort of facility.
How many layouts here you have in the studio? So you have that setup and you have like other setups.
We have several, 5-6 that we can play around. Okay. There are some that are more popular.
Okay.
In the new one, we're going to have a lot more. Super highly developed. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Good stuff. And the new one, it will be where? Do you have the location?
Nearby, right? 5 minutes from here.
Ah, perfect.
5 minutes.
So somewhere in the Internet City Knowledge Village. Yeah. Awesome. Good talking to you, my man.
Same here, man.
Until next time.
Thanks for taking the time and having me on.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Good one.